morning. Good morning, Brussels. Good evening, Amsterdam, I guess. Welcome to our very 10th edition of the Go Dev Room. Our 10-year anniversary. Who have thought this room will survive that long? And as we did in the past 10 years, I'm going to start with the state of Go, where I'll be giving you an update about what has happened in the last year of Go, so you're up to date for my more advanced speakers to blow you away with even more new things in Go. Who am I? Hi, my name is Maartje. It is unpronounceable if you don't speak Dutch. I'm a senior software engineer. I live on trains around Europe, and I mostly work on everything to do with service mesh in Kubernetes and Cilium. If you really want to, you can follow me on the Fediverse, but you'll see more trains and gophers. What am I going to talk to you about today? Well, I will take you through the changes to the language, changes to the standard library, the tooling. Let's take a look also at a few design drafts for the next release of Go, and also a community update. What has been new since I last stood here exactly a year ago and thought about Go 120? Of course, Go 121, and also Go 122. Go 121 was released around August of 2023, and 122 is currently in release candidate 2 and is about to release any second now. They could have already released it to just hate on me and release it just now, but they probably won't. First up, I want to talk about changes to the Go language. And in Go 121, we have two new built-in functions, the minimum function and the maximum function. What would they do? They do as advertised. You give them a few integers as a float, and they give you the minimum and the maximum. And thanks to generics, they don't have to be integers. They can be floats. They can be anything else, as long as it is a number or a string for some reason. We also now have a built-in clear function, which works for slices and maps. What does it do? It doesn't delete yours. It sets all values to 0. So I have written some amazing code here which creates a slice of integers, and I set 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I call the clear function on it, and I get a length of 5 and still a capacity of 5. Okay. When I loop over them, I will see that they are now are 0 instead of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It is a 0 is the 0 value of an integer. That's what clear does. There are also better imports. Well, better defined imports. Quickly turn down this. Well, let's echo. It is now better defined how Go imports your libraries in the following algorithm. It sorts them all by an import path, and then it starts importing them. It will initialize all packages of which all sub-imports have been initialized, and it will keep repeating that. This is technically a breaking change, even though it's just better documentation of already existing behavior. However, I want to talk to you about a revolutionary change to the Go language. This will change how we write Go forever. And it's about this thing. We've all written it at least 10 times in our careers, especially in the beginning. We all know what this does. But if you ever try to explain it to somebody who doesn't program, okay, I is 0. I think everybody can read that. I is less than 10. Okay, yes, it's 0. I plus plus? And what are those semicolons? Semicolons in Go? Wait a minute. Whoa, what is this? Okay, we know this because we're programmers. We have seen this in every language in the world. But what if we could make this better? And that's what they did. I colon equal range 10. Amazing, right? Which genius has thought of this idea in the world? I bet nobody. Oh, Python. In case you wonder, that's the output of the function. In case you didn't know that, I might suggest another dev room, which is more beginner-friendly. This is part of the range func experiment, which I will come back later. This is the start of something way better, but it's already a revolution. Talking about for loops, they even got better. Variables are now created for each loop iteration. In case you are now saying, wasn't this the case? No, the value changed, and this caused some really dirty bugs. Let me try to show you one. This is some code which I've written in Go 121, and I made a variable, which is a pointer to an integer, and I call this one 0. I loop over to 100, and when I come across 0, I note its pointer. Okay. Any idea what this will output? 100. Yeah, that's even more weird. There is a reason for that. I won't go into that. I only have 25 minutes. This outputs 100. That's not what you want, right? No worries. Go 122, I can write the same thing. Of course, with my very new fancy range function. And what is this output? 0. Perfect. Now, every time the I is looped, it becomes a new variable instance instead of just reusing the value, way less bugs in your loops. But this, by the way, is a breaking change. It changes the behavior, arguably a very much better behavior, but it's a breaking behavior. OK, let's all change it to the language. Let's go to tooling. And my favorite, GoVet. Even though you might not be using GoVet that often anymore, because we now have all those fancy Java-based IDEs with those red squiggly lines, or green ones, or purple ones. Or these days, you just ask ChatGPT, and it gives you output. OK, there are very few new warnings into GoVet. The first one is that it will now warn you if you forget to put a value in your append call. Who has done this before? Be honest. OK, if you now forget this, GoVet will now warn you. It also gives you a warning if you call time since in a defer statement incorrectly. If you do this code here, I pick my time now, and I do a time since in a defer statement, it will print the time of the defer, of writing this, not the execution of the defer. GoVet will now warn you against this and will recommend you to write it in a wrap function. GoVet also removed a warning in Go 122 for the reuse of variables which were initialized in loops. Because of obvious reasons, this code now functions correctly. It's a bit too much echo. Some changes to the Go commands. GoTest now also has a full path flag. The full path flag gives you the full path in your test log messages. What it says on the thing, right? The GoTest cover flag now also gives you coverage for packages which do not have tests. In Go 121, it would have given you this, no test files. In Go 122, it gives you the more accurate 0.0% coverage of your tests because there are no tests. You should write some tests for it. GoMod init will no longer attempt to import any module requirements from other rendering tools. Wait, what? Other rendering tools? Sit down, my child. Story time. When I was young, if you know my age, that's very funny, we had multiple rendering tools. And let me take you through them. In the beginning, there was GoPath. Okay? We had this variable thing, and this was a path on your file system. And the Go team was very strict about this. You put your files in there in how we tell it and not differently, and then your libraries work. If you don't, it all breaks. We moved away from that because Project A wanted an older version of the dependency than Project B, and boom, it crashed. That's why we invented the vendor folder. We just put a copy of those libraries inside the vendor folder inside the project. That was painful. So we invented tools for that. GoDeb was one. Glide was one. I think at some point in my life, I might have attempted to also write one. And then they gave up on it, and somebody got in and said, let's make an official experiment. And the experiment turned out to be GoDeb, not to be confused with GoDeb. Not to be confused with Johnny Depp. And this all turned into what we now have is Go modules. And that is where we are today. And everything else is now deprecated, except for vendoring, which is somehow still supported. OK, let's take a look at what is new into the standard library. We got many improvements to contexts. We got a without cancel function, which gives you a copy of your context that will not be canceled when the original context is canceled. We also have added timeouts and deadlines with clauses that you now can give a reason why your context is timed out, and that you can receive with the clause function. There is also an afterfunc function, which you can put in a function which will be executed when your context is canceled. Well, on cryptography, ECDHA and RSA have got a very welcome improvement, that is that public key.equal and private key.equal now execute in constant time, which I always thought was the case, but yay, security. For TLS, you can now control the content of your session tickets. If you don't know what that is, don't control it. There is also a version name function which you can call to get your current TLS version of which of the connection you're using. And there are finally better error messages that are according to the RFCs and not just the generic error connection failed. you now get why your connection is failed. In Go 1.22, you now also have the default minimum of TLS 1.2, which is a breaking change, especially if you interact with very old systems. Talking about errors, there is now the standardized error called error unsupported, which is already used when you get an HTTP 405, when it's unsupported, you'll get this generic error, and as well as you use OS link on a non-hard linking support file system like Windows, you get an error too. Flags now also will panic if you initialize them in the wrong order and you call a flag and a set together. In the wrong case, this is a breaking change, but it's intended to catch any misconfigurations in your code. The same package now also includes once func and once value, which basically capture a common used use case of the once function to lazy initialize values. In 1.22, we finally got a little bit better HTTP routing. In Go, we have HTTP serve mux. Not many of you are probably using it, because there are many other libraries that do it way better. It's now getting better. I have this thing, an HTTP serve mux here, and a slash handle function, which I print out. If you have this slash, I get welcome to the Go dev room. OK, HTTP server in Go, we've all done that. What is better now? I can now specifically state which HTTP verb to answer. For example, I only want to answer to post. I now write post space slash talk. Somehow that was still missing. I can do the same with get, and I also can give variables inside it. I can do get talk and the talk ID, which I can then fetch with a new path value inside of HTTP standard library, and I can get the value of this. There is also a way to capture it in using wildcards. If you put three dots behind it, it captures everything, even after some trailing slashes. There is also a bit better behavior when it comes to paths. The above code, which you just do get slash home slash, you might not realize, but it actually is slash home slash anything. You can now specifically only match on slash home slash by putting the regex style dollar sign there as a variable. This is technically a breaking change. Nobody will hit it because nobody put curly braces in their HTTP paths. Well, somebody did. HTTP now also has support for the file system interface, which you can get from many things, zips, etc., to immediately serve files. Breaking change in both server and client is that it will now give you an error when you have an empty content length header, which is incorrect HTTP, but Go for somehow accepted it. Some weird clients, you might hit this bug. But there are also some new welcome packages. Well, the first one is log slash slog, and this thing is intentionally left unfinished. Why? Last year I spoke about great detail about how this works, and this year it's just implemented. Last year it was a design draft, so I'll just skip that. Difference is we now have tests for it. But there is a very handy maps package, which is thanks to generics. Well, we now have a maps package where you can work with all different kinds of maps. You can clone them, copy them. You can selectively delete values in them with the delete function. You can equal them, finally, without writing a helper function. And you can do an equal with like a more specific helper function in them. We have exactly the same for slices. Same exact functions. But we also have binary search, grow, index, insert, refer, sort, and way too many for one slide. If you want to know more about this, check the documentation. There are many new helper functions with slices. If you're dealing with them in your life, check out these packages. They will save you a lot of helper functions. There's also a compare package. Does it assess on the tin? It compares things. It will give you less, equal, or more in integer form. You can do a less call in it, and 1.22. It will also have an OR, which you can get the first non-empty value out of it. We also have the first V2 package in the standard library, which is the controversial mat random number library. It now officially removes the read function. If you use a read function, you use a crypto library instead. The global generator is now randomly seeded, unless it was like before, which was not seeded, which was very bad for random numbers. There is now better function spelling, and again, generics. This is a theme this year somehow in the standard library. There is a generic function, rand.n, which accepts any kind of number-ish. It also now uses the more secure ChaCha8 algorithm, and honestly, the people who name those algorithms should get a prize for it. Quick update about the Go runtime. Trust me, I'm not a Go developer of the Go team. I won't go into great detail about the new memory management stuff. No worries. I can just say that tracing is now 10 times faster than last year if you are on AMD64 or ARM64. And traces now also contain all stop-of-the-world events and not only garbage collection. PGO also is now enabled by default. And the Go compiler is now 6% faster because the Go compiler itself was compiled using PGO. OK, next up is Go ports. I had somebody who was doing a Flutter talk, it's a Dart language, who wished that Flutter was still in Go because of how many platforms it runs on. She might or not be sitting there. Update on ports. Go 1.21 will require Windows 10, Server 2016, or later. Go 1.21 also will require macOS Catalina, or later. And Go 1.22 will be the last one to then again support macOS Catalina. They're moving very fast on the macOS front. Go 1.22 adds experimental support for the RPC 64 platform on OpenBSD. I bet one guy is very happy about this. There are also some changes to WebAssembly. That is that you can now use the Go WASM import directive to import functions from the WebAssembly host into your Go program. It now the Go scheduler is now more efficient with the JavaScript event loop, which caused some asynchronous bugs for some people. And then it has experimental support for the WebAssembly system interface, WASI for short, which I have no idea what it means. There are also some changes to the Go ARM flag, is that you can now specifically set on the ARM architecture whether you want to use the software floating point implementation or the hardware floating point implementation. You can do that by simply setting Go ARM is equal to the version, comma, soft float, or comma, hard float. The default is still the same. It is soft float for version 5, and for version 6 and 7, it is hard floating implementation. There are also some changes to Windows. File.change directory now actually changes the directory on a Windows platform. For some reason, that error. You hear that around 5% is Windows users, and the rest is, we don't care. Then directory now uses this weird Windows call function. If it's 2W behind, you know it's from Windows 2000, which is a security hardening measure for some system privileges. I'm not a Windows user. The OS package now also supports UTF-16 names, should they not be representable in UTF-8. And LSTAT finally resolves symbolic links on the Windows platform. And gosh, there are many more of these in the OS packages here. It almost feels like somebody finally used Go on Windows. Okay, this was the presentation in Go. This is what is new this year. Let's quickly talk about the future of Go. Usually, I have a whole bunch of things to talk about, but I couldn't find anything this year. It was like empty. Like nobody had a design proposal in the repo in the past 6 months. I didn't even working. What I do have is that RageFunk experiment, which is not really a design draft because it's partially implemented. There is a preliminary implementation in Go 1.22, which you can go try out now. And you can enable it with this flag there, Go experiment is equal to RageFunk. And then you have this experiment. What does it give you? Well, it gives you two generic types, sequence and sequence 2, which is not the sequel to which sequence 1. It's a generic type. What can you do with it? Well, you can implement your own ranging logic with it. You just implement a generic function, and inside the generic function, you return a function, and inside that function, you implement your own ranging logic, which for simplicity purposes, I just kept it as the length of something. You can put in your own custom logic for your own custom data types on whatever you want for this. I'm not going into those details. And then you can simply use it in vcolon equal range, and then your own function, and this will work without having to return a slice. And now time about my favorite part of this talk, is talking about you all, the Go community. Except this year is not really my favorite. Usually I'm very happy sharing the things, but I have to start with very bad news. And that is that two very important Gophers, both to the Fozen community, both which I could call friends, have sadly enough passed away last year. Sorry if I'm crying a bit. I did this many times practicing, and while making these slides, I couldn't hold it, and I had to stop. And I just hope it goes well now. First person we lost this year was Carolyn. Carolyn presented here in the Go Dev Room a few years ago. She also was helping behind the scenes a lot. She was really passionate about the community, making the community more inclusive, making it a friendly place, making sure everybody felt welcome. She was the queen of emoji, and that's an understatement. She was also an amazing person, amazing gopher, who talked about, you guessed it, the user interface of command line tools. Somebody who finally cared that we had the right flags. I worked with her a lot in the Women Who Go, and sadly, without her, it's not the same place. I miss her. And the second one is Chris Nova. She was home here at Fosdem. She will be sitting there now, waving at me, hi. She has been since every edition since 2017 in this dev room. She stood on the main stage of Fosdem. She made it out of this small dev room to the main stage of Fosdem to talk about the clusterfucks in Kubernetes. Why? Because she was not afraid to talk what she thought. She was not afraid to say, oh, I will not talk about how my own code sucks. No, she did this. She was an amazing person who had her heart in the right place. When I needed something, like dinner last year, I just called her and she had a solution ready, even though she was super busy herself. Nova, I also miss you. And now the rest of the Go community. As every year, I show you a map of all Go meetups in the world. Should you have some travel plans, you might want to visit one of those places. But not much happy news there either. Usually, I have giant pluses in this slide. But this year, I do not. There are 83 less meetups in the professional Go developer network on meetup.com. I couldn't count our meetups because decentralization. But there are 83 less. Does it mean there are less of you? No, because the room is filled again. I do not see any single empty chair. Probably still the same. I just personally think the meetup community is not what it used to be. Because of the 82 meetups, there is also Go meetups in 10 less countries and contributes in 25,000 less meetup members. Women Who Go and GoBridge, stable at 41 chapters, though I have to say that this data is probably not at all correct, and I didn't check if every 41 of the chapters still exists. But now let's try to end up on a more happy note, the Fosdem community, because we exist 10 years today. 10 years ago, this thing happened. Oh, do not look at it Sunday. Do not look at it. No, it's 10 years today. This thing appeared on the Go website, the Fosdem website. A dev room about the Go language, that language nobody writes yet, right? A few talks, half day, perfect, right? And this is what it looked like. Welcome to the Go dev room. Was not me that again. Cold day in Brussels. And this was the room. It was one of the smallest rooms at Fosdem, but it was already jam-packed. And apart from being jam-packed, some things never change. Traditions never die. The lightning talks were just the same. They were only up until the last slot of the day and open until the last minute of the day. So some things we do keep in tradition.